What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 10 of The Rookies. This episode is with Pat Kraft Jr. of NYX. Pat is an incredibly magnetic player, fun to watch on the field. In this episode, we dive into some of Pat's motivating factors and some really cool things that he is doing that separate him from the pack in the NXL. Shout out to all of our sponsors, Dye, Level Up, New Balance, Falcon, and Ninja for helping us play the game. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you all enjoy this episode. All right, we are live. Pat, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. How are things out in New York?
It's a little questionable right now. Everyone's kind of running around being crazy and stuff, but so far, so good. My family's healthy. It's all I can really ask for, but it's a weird time. A lot of stuff going on, and it's just hard to take in, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, right on, man. You're down in Albany, right?
Yeah, I actually live 30 minutes south of Albany, so I'm in an urban area. It's actually called Chatham, New York. So I'm not near any of near the capital or the city or anything. So.
Okay. So it's probably a little more relaxed down towards you. Cause I know in Boston right now, it's like completely pretty much locked down. They're like putting out a plan next week, but it's, like I'm in Boston, so it's like not much happening there.
Yeah, my mom actually lives in Salem. She's coming to visit for a couple of days, so I think she's coming to visit before the lockout begins. But yeah, I mean, the only thing around here is that a lot of the city people have came to their country or summer homes to kind of get away from the city. So it's a little bit more packed than usual, but it's fine.
Yeah. So recently, the NXL, kind of dive into this, just released their new regional conferences. Did you see that on their – I think a bunch of people shared it.
I did, yeah. I saw that, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, man, I like that they're trying to keep paintball alive, and I like that they're trying to entice people to stay within the sport. Honestly, my personal opinion is that I'm just curious to see how it goes. Honestly, I liked what we had in the NXL the past couple of years, the format. And the rule changes and just everything that they've been able to do over the past couple of years. So I'm just curious to see how this goes. I'm not a huge fan of only playing six other teams regionally, but if that's what it takes to keep paintball alive, I guess I'll have to become a fan.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I've also been a fan of what the NXL has been doing. I think the events have been getting better and better and more competitive. Our conference is us, you guys, Russian Legion, Revo, Outlaws, NRG, Aftermath, and Infamous. So I think that's a pretty competitive group, I think, of teams. You guys are a Sunday team, Revo's a Sunday team, Infamous can be a Sunday team, and then you kind of have us as a newer team, NRG as a newer team, Aftermath on a whole rebuild, and then the Outlaws are constantly rebuilding. So I think we'll have a very competitive conference.
Yeah, 100%. As long as the Russians don't show up and smack everybody, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah. I'm curious if because it's only six teams, do you think that'll be like an event winner? Like whoever wins our like six team mini tournament, they're going to get like a trophy and like.
I don't know. I think they would probably do it as like you win your conference. Like it's like, you know, like Eastern Conference Finals, yeah. West Conference, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Maybe they would do a conference finals and then, but there's three conferences. So that doesn't, I don't know how that would work. But there is seven teams in our conference, more than any other conference, I believe. So I don't know if they'll take two from us or what will happen. I have no idea.
Yeah. I wonder how that would work as well. Cause I guess with the divisional teams, they're letting them fly all around. You can play all three if you're a divisional team, but with the pro circuit, that's not the case, which I guess it makes sense. Cause the pro teams are more franchises and like brands versus like divisional teams who like, nobody really cares what event a D3 team plays. They can just play whatever they want.
True.
Yeah, so in one of my earlier podcasts, I had Harrison Fry on, who's an old, New York Outlaw NYXer. He claims that he started NYX at some like winter warm up tournament. From your point of view, how did NYX start?
Yeah, this is actually his story is actually very spot on. We used to love to have him tell the story because he was so funny when he told it. But so it was, I think I was 20 years old. I don't know, 6 years ago. So like back in 2014, 2015, I think it was 2014. It was a winter league and I was just coming off an injury. I didn't know any of these guys at all. I didn't like, I played with Harrison. I didn't play with any of the New York guys. I never even met these guys. Right. And my friend is like, hey, like, I know you're injured, but like, you should come play up in Syracuse. It's just a, like a low key league. The guys on Lyft that I used to play for were like, yeah, you can come out and play for us. Sorry if you hear my dog. That's my dog just being annoying.
Oh, it's all good.
In the background. So we're, my friend's like, yo, come play in this winter league. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll come up and play. And the night before I get there at the hotel, I get hammered with my friends because I wasn't taking it seriously. Right. And at like 8:30 in the morning, Harrison Fry calls me and he's like, hey, PK, we need players. Like, we got a match in 25 minutes. Can you be there? And like the hotel was literally, it was literally 500 feet from the field. So I was like just grabbed all my stuff, ran over. As they're like legitimately starting the match, I'm gearing up in the pit. And I've never met any of these guys, nothing. Like, it was Harrison, John Delano, the Husseins, Bo Milo, who's the owner of the team. I had no idea who these guys were, but they were like, yeah, let's play. Greg Hrosik, who plays for Seattle Thunder, was there as well. But yeah, we ended up like doing really well in the tournament. We ended up like beat Upton or lost them by one. It was like, I think we played them twice and we did both of those. We beat them and then we lost by one in the finals. But yeah, we played really well. And like, it was just crazy to see everything come to like life like that and just like how random it actually was. And I remember after that day, they were like, Harrison Hussein came up to me and was like, yo, I mean, we don't know you very much, but like, if you want to play Dallas, we're playing the first PSP in Division 1, if you want to come along and play. And I was like, well, I don't really have much money. Like, I was a college student living in Boston at the time. And I was just like, I was kind of like, yeah, sure. Like, if you guys can help me out, I'll come and play. They ended up taking me on. I didn't even play a point the first event, but that was actually how I got started with the New York boys. I mean, I'm a New York native, so it actually made a lot of sense. And I don't know how I never ran into these guys in my life, but it was just kind of, it was it was just a perfect fit, man. I remember that day that Harrison's talking about, someone tested us, like shot one of our guys like brutally in the back of the head. And like, I don't stand for that. Like, not my teammates. I didn't even know these guys that well, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. Like, we're playing paintball. So like, all right, now I'm going to get feisty. And I got feisty. It was one of my friends. It was John Fogarty. And I was like yelling at him. And I remember I turned around to Harrison Ars and was like, all right, like, we like this kid. This kid's got some anger in him. You know what I mean? He's a New Yorker. They could tell.
So. Yeah. It's always good to stand up for your boys, even if you don't know them. You know, if they're on your team, you're not going to let someone headhunt them like that.
Oh, never, bro. Never. Not with me.
Never. Yeah, dude. That's a great story. I don't think a lot of people have a story like that of how a paintball team has come together.
Oh, it's crazy, man. Yeah, like, so we come together like that, and then we don't do so hot at Texas. We missed Sunday by 1 or 2 points. We lost like Philadelphia Energy back when they were playing. And then we played the next event, which was MAO. We ended up going to Sunday. So at that first event, I played 1 point because they didn't really like know who I was. So they were just like kind of testing me out. They put me in 1 point off the break. They were like, go corner. I was like, all right. So I go corner. The ref calls me out, hit on my pack apparently. I didn't have a hit on me. It is what it is. Rest discretion. Yeah. Maybe you saw blow up off me. But I got shot that 1 point, or I didn't get shot. I got called out and they didn't put me in for the rest of the tournament. I didn't see the field one more time.
Damn.
And that kind of like lit a fire on me. I was like, I just flew all the way to Texas to play 1 point. And I know I'm a good paintball player. And even back then I knew I was a good paintball player, enough to play on that team, at least more than 1 point. So I just remember coming back, man, I'm just grinding and like just working super, super hard to get that starting spot, which I actually got the next event. Like I said, we went, I think, 3-1. We beat Revo with that event in D1, and we moved on. We lost to Uprising on Sunday. And then in Chicago, we took third. And that's kind of like what solidified, like, okay, this team's sticking together. Like, we took third in D1, you know what I mean? Our third event in.
Yeah,
we were like, wow, we can do something. I'd never played higher than D2 previously to that, and that was with Bloodline. And I don't even think I podiumed in D2. So for me, that was a huge deal. at the age of 20 to podium. And that was back when the D1 division, I mean, it's always been stacked. I would say that like nowadays it's not as stacked, but I also haven't watched enough. So maybe I'm ill-informed, but I just remember it was like AC Dallas, Trade My Gun, Revo, us, like I mean, we weren't even a top team. DMG, like I'm listing all teams that are now pro, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah, what year was
that was our journey, man. That was fun. I think it was 2015 or 2014, if I'm not mistaken. I get kind of confused because of the winter league. I think it was 2014.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, sure. I mean,
I've been on the team for like 5-6 years.
Okay, yeah. I mean, D1, even when you and I were both in at the same time, it was stacked then, because like it was you guys, us, DMG, AC, Uprising was in it the first year. I think I was in it. So like all these teams that are now pro, and I think there needs to be like a catch up period almost for like the D2 teams to come to D1. And I hope this whole coronavirus thing doesn't like hurt it that badly to where we get a huge gap now, whereas before it was like, you know, semi-pro was super competitive in D1. I hope it can, you know, sustain that.
Oh, sorry. Last part cut out. You hope it what?
Oh, we will. Pat, you there?
Yeah, I lost you for a second. So you hope that it can survive the break that we're having?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say with everything going on if it's gonna. I really hope it does, because paintball's on the up and up. When it comes to the level of competition, especially in pro, you hear the announcers saying it all the time now. It's like there used to be a certain amount of teams that could win an event, and now it's not that anymore. I mean, the IRMN proved that pretty well in Vegas. I think they shocked the world, honestly. With a revamped roster. But honestly, I think they had an advantage just being a California team. I bet they practiced a little bit more than most of the field, but that's just an excuse. They played lights out. I mean, people stepped up huge for them, man. Corey Hall played great. Thomas Kim played that tower phenomenally. Like, not a lot of people were making that tower like 90-80% of the time, and he was making it running and gunning. A-Rod was crushing people. I mean, that's needless to say. And Parrish was their guy on the snake side, and he was just getting it done over there. So, and don't forget about Slowly actually shooting people off the break. So that starting five was running real smooth, man, at that event. It was they beat us 6-0. I haven't played a match like where I got punished like that. Like, it felt like, and in pro sometimes that happens, man, or in divisional happens too. It's like, nothing goes your way. You're just getting shot off the break. You're not shooting anybody off the break. All your teammates are dying. You're dying. Like, it just happens. And that's the kind of match that they gave us. And it just opened my eyes. I was like, wow, those guys they're playing at an elite level right now. And I'm curious to see how they hold through the break as well. Honestly, I think right now is an opportunity for people that are a little bit lower caliber to catch up. I think if you can use this time properly, considering your circumstances, I don't know if you have a job or if you have the time right now. I have a lot of free time right now. I'm laid off. So I've been using this time to dial in a little bit like of my small, like kind of little areas that I need to tighten up. So, I mean, it depends on the type of mindset and the type of person you are, if you're going to use this time appropriately. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think that a lot of that goes back to like what you were saying when you joined NYX and you only got to play one point. Like when I joined, you know, Asylum and semi-pro, I was only playing the wall, which is like the least desirable position. And, you know, I wasn't even playing at every point, but there are two types of people. There are people like you and I, it's like, okay, you only got one point. You can quit and be like, you know what? These guys don't, you know, they don't think I'm good enough. I'm just going to go play a different division somewhere where I can be a starter, or you can grind until you become a starter. And that's how you advance in the system. And I think there's a lot of people now that are just like, I don't want to put in the work, or they don't understand how much work actually goes into it to get to the top of, you know, each division. The climb of the divisions is hard, you know? And I think that's a big difference in like the mental mental fortitude that a lot of players maybe lack when, and they're like, oh, how do I get to pro? How do I climb? You know, how do I play D1? It's like, you just have to take your lumps and keep coming back.
For sure, man. It's an intrinsic motivator, as they would call it, from when I went to school. It's either in you or it's not. You can have outside motivators, but the one that will take you the farthest is the one that's inside you. So you can't teach that, man. Matty Marshall says it all the time. He's like, you either have it or you don't. And if you want it, you either go get it or you don't. It's like nothing's handed to you in this world. And I say this to my people around me and my girlfriend all the time. She just got a new job, and she was like saying how thankful she was for this, like how she got put into this and placed into this new environment. And I was like, you got up, you put the application in, you made all the correct movements for your goal. You know what I mean? Like something as simple as that, you have to, nobody else can do it for you. You have to get up. You have to make a conscious effort every day to do it. And it's either you do it or you don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hear anybody, I don't feel bad for anybody that hasn't made it to the top yet. You know what I mean? Cause it took me a long time, brother. It took me 13 years. I was talking about this the other day. I've been playing paintball for 13 years, which is now half of my life. And it definitely wasn't always pretty. And I definitely got smoked a lot. And I still do. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. I still go to events, man. And I come home and I'm watching tape. This is a story actually I wanted to touch on. So this goes to like just my work ethic and the way I view the game. So last Chicago, Drew Templeton. Oh, no. It was last Philadelphia. We played Infamous. They smoked us. My assignment off the break, because I was shooting off the break D side, was Drew Templeton. I didn't shoot this guy once that match. So damn. I didn't shoot him once. And I was like, yo, I know Drew is good. Don't get me wrong. But my lane off the break is I believe in it. So I'm like, okay, well, obviously I made some mistakes. We ended up drawing them for the next event, because at the end of the event, they do the draw. You know who you're going to play. So those next 6 weeks, man, I watched this guy day in, day out. And I know that guy was not going home and watching me shooting off the break, because I didn't shoot him. But I know that I didn't shoot him. So I was going to watch his routes. I was going to watch his tendencies, all of his habits, just seeking out where he was most vulnerable, because he was crushing me. He put it in my head, like I couldn't shoot him, and I had to rectify that. So the next event comes, we ended up, the game ended up going to overtime. I shot him like maybe once or twice off the break, and then I read his habits and I shot him two more times. But the last time that I shot him was based off the intel that I got by watching film, specifically on that layout. I know Drew as a player. If you give him the wire, he's going to rap. He's going to rap hard. He's going to try to shoot at your guys. So it was overtime. There was like 50 seconds. It's a 3-on-3. And I'm like, Drew's got the wire. I'm in channeled in the corner. I know he's rapping. I'm watching my guy across field that's on him. And I'm waiting for him to just like really start to like engage with my boy. As soon as I see him hard rapping and shooting and exchanging with my friend, I made the move to the wire, came out, clocked him. Like, I would have never made that kill. That kill actually ended up winning us the game in overtime, by the way. That kill would have never came, or I would have never reacted in the moment if I didn't put in that hard work off the field. And that's what I'm trying to say, is like those little small things that nobody sees. Nobody saw me watching film at night in my room by myself thinking about this guy that put it on me a month ago. Nobody saw that. People think it's about the stuff that people see. It's about the stuff that people don't see. You know, you have to be willing to put work in the dark when no one's looking. And like Maddie says, or I say, it's either in you or it isn't, man. And that's just the way it is, man. That's life. Nothing's given to you. You got to go take it. And then you all know that, but it's hard to actually just get up every day and perform and go after it.
Dude, that's an incredible story. That is just like a testament to what you can do, like in this downtime, just in any time, just how bad do you want it? Like I think if you just look at the progression of NYX in the pro division, like you guys are more consistently making Sunday, you're more consistently winning the close games. And it's like little things like that, like what you just described, it's like, that's why you're incrementally getting better. That's why you're like a Sunday team now. And that's an awesome story.
Thank you, man. I'm telling you, man, I swear the key to pro is watching tape. We have this outlet and resource in Go Sports. Shout out to Go Sports Live. They make paintball so much better, bro. And they make, yeah. And I honestly think the reason why the paintball community has been elevated is because of Go Sports, because you have all these tools at your disposal now. You can go look back and watch games and all this stuff. Like you just said, like this downtime right now, I'm waiting on that one-on-one opportunity. I'm watching every single pro, every single ultimate shootout or pro tour video that comes out. I'm watching, because if my name gets called and I have to play one of these guys that have already won one of these things or have already, made it through the tournament of the ultimate shootout, if they call my name to play, I'm going to know their tendencies. I hope I play somebody that's already played before.
Yeah. Yeah. You have such a big advantage. That's why every other sport, they watch film. Like, you know, coming up through, I played high school sports. You have a film day where you just sit there and you watch the other team's game and you dissect it. You know, it doesn't matter what sport you're playing, soccer, football, baseball, you know, paintball, the fundamentals of how to win are there. You just have to apply them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So speaking of motivation,
I think A-Rod did that the most. Sorry. Yeah. No, continue.
So speaking of motivation, so I always see BKI Paintball. They're always posting photos of NYX as bad examples of things. And I see you troll them on it.
Yeah.
Is that like a funny thing, or are you just like, course, what the fuck are these guys doing?
I mean, it's paintball, right? So this is the thing. I tend to not put people on blast in paintball, because I understand like circumstances and variables change. Like, you're not always going to make the perfect dive or the perfect read, or you're just, context is everything, especially in paintball. We're playing a game where it's based off inches, milliseconds, whatever you want to call it, whatever cliche you want to say. It's just, there's so many variables that are confounding that influence a person to react in the moment. It's just like, you can't account for stuff like that. So I never troll nobody. Like, if you make a mistake, bro, I get it. Like, it's okay. But yeah, BKI or Ryan or all the dynasty guys that throw shade, like, it is what it is. I think it's all in fun. I mean, we take it as fun, because like, yo, we're the jokesters, so we don't care at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you want the trolling to start, we're down for it. We got plenty of ammo. It's up to you. If you want to start that war, anybody, I'm just letting you know, we got an army. So, and most of our players don't even have to put in the work. We got other guys that'll do that for us. So,
that's hilarious. I think NYX as a whole has brought an edginess to the game that was really lacking. Like, I know whenever we would play you guys in semi-pro, like, you know, teams, when you walk by each other, but nobody chirps. I know when we were playing you guys, every single time we would all be bobbing up and down, you know, not, you know, MFing each other, but like, hey, let's go, boys. Like, what's up? Because we always had competitive games. So every single time, we were always talking smack to each other. And it was fun. It made our matches so much more fun. Because I'm walking by Hussein, I'm like, oh, what's up, boy? What are you going to do? You guys shoot me off the break? Hell no, I'm about to come get you. And he'd be like, you know, pounding his chest. We'd be all doing that thing. And then the matches we would play would just be so fun to be in, because there was that extra element of these guys are our rivals. You know, we tie these guys all the time. We beat them by one, they beat us by one. It's like back and forth every single time. So I think it's a much needed aspect that you guys bring to the game.
I see it from an outsider's perspective, and it's cool to be on the team that's kind of influencing the game to be a little bit more risky and just like kind of a little bit more wild and entertaining. Cause like, honestly, bro, that's what the sport needs. It needs the story. It needs the drama. People they're attracted to conflict. That's what they want. You know what I mean? That's humans to a T, bro. You put some conflict in there. Oh, okay. We'll tune in. You know what I mean? You don't want to watch the Dolphins play the Raiders unless you're a Raiders or a Dolphins fan.
Right.
Do you want to watch the Patriots play the Giants? Yeah, because there's history behind it. There's two Super Bowls that the Giants probably shouldn't even have got, but they have. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's stories behind that. Like, it's just, you need the story to intrigue new followers. You need the, like I said, the drama or the conflict. And even if it's not even if it's not authentic. Because, like, dude, when we play teams, like, we're just trying to get in your head. We're not being mean. We don't care about, like, we don't mean anything we say. And the thing is like, whatever we say, if it impacts you at all and changes your mental, if it changes the way you're thinking in that moment, we've won. You know, if we can get your focus off the game and, oh, what did that guy just say to me? Okay. Well, instantly you're not thinking about your tactics and now you're thinking about something else. You know what I mean? If we can get you to react emotionally, I think that's something that Conor McGregor does very well in his press conferences and all that kind of stuff in the media. I don't know if you follow UFC, but he'll talk a lot of smack. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I think that makes those other fighters that are really high caliber fighters just make mistakes. And you know, I mean, we're not the best team in the division, obviously, but we've beaten some good teams, man. We've beaten AC Dallas, we've beaten Russian Legion, we've beaten Revo, we've beaten X Factor. You know what I mean? We've had a close game with Impact. Every game with Heat is a 1-point game. It's like those teams are a higher paid or whatever you want to call it, or just they've been in the game longer than us. They're all vets, but still we seem to have these close games. And I honestly think it's because of the edge that we bring. We make them uncomfortable. We don't allow them to just shoot us out of our spots, or, you know what I mean? Just like little small things that influence a paintball game. We get in their heads a little bit and then they start reacting emotionally and making stupid mistakes or moves that they would never do against other teams. It's just another variable. And it's something that we try to use to our advantage. And like, I'm from New York, man, as you guys already know, but like, that's just the way I was brought up. Yeah. People are going to talk smack to you while you're playing a sport, and it either lights your fire and makes you play better, or it doesn't. And that's something I learned very quickly when I started playing paintball. It's like, even my dad used to tell me, he'd try to get me mad before games because I just play on a whole different level. Like it's either you play down or you play up. And for me specifically, I play up. So I like the edginess. I like the shit talking. It elevates my game. And if it elevates their game too, we're going to have a better game. So it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's all in fun, man. We just want to have fun. So.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome. I mean, the hype between like you guys and Aftermath last year, they would hype up every game. You know, they have the photo of Barga, you know, Hussein posing, like that's all an extra element for the fans. You know, it's, you know, you're like betting on points. It's more entertaining to watch. And like the stuff that you and Revo do, it's like you make funny jerseys, or it's like, I don't know, these bets, they just add something extra to the game that we didn't seem to have, you know, like 2 years ago when Impact was just winning every event. It's like nobody was really, it didn't seem like the heat was there, at least watching on Go Sports. But now it's, I don't know, I think it's becoming more entertaining, especially with the faster field layouts. Like this Vegas one they just put out, super entertaining to watch. So I hope they can trend in that direction with entertainment of you know, the announcers want to be entertained. It's more fun to play a fast layout, so it's better for the players, better for the fans. I think it's just better all around.
I think so too, man. I like those slow, methodical points and stuff like that. Those are always going to come on Sunday. But yeah, for the viewer perspective and just the environment of the tournament overall, I think a fast layout is actually very productive.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree. So, I mean, you guys, what did you end up finishing in Vegas? I know you made Sunday.
We took 10th. We lost to X Factor pretty badly.
Yeah. But you guys had a good game with them in the prelims, right?
We did. It was a back and forth battle. They had the lead the majority of the time. We were kind of just like fighting back the whole time. I mean, they played good, man. Shout out to Coach Ryan Brand, man. That guy counters and throws plays at the right moments a high percentage of the time. And I think that's what beat us that game. And honestly, I don't think and it's no shade at anybody on my team or on our coaching staff. I just don't think that we had our zones properly adjusted. I think that layout was very, as I thought, as soon as the layout came out, man, I was like, yo, that layout is very simple. But there were so many variables that were just like, you couldn't account for because at practice, nobody was going up the middle because everybody was making the snake. Everybody's making the Doritos. Now at the event, everyone's diving into the snake towers. Like, where was this at practice? You can't adjust and play the way the field's supposed to play if everyone's diving through stuff at practice, or the paint's not good and it's not hitting people, or it's bouncing and people are playing on. And you know what? That's just elements of the game. But yeah, the layout was cool. But it was just difficult to get a grasp on everything and how it was actually going to play out at the event, which it always is. But this event specifically, I thought, because at practice we wanted to play the middle, and then we didn't play the middle until we got to the event. Because I was telling my coach, I was like, "Yo, I'm going to shoot. If they line up heavy on the snake side, I'm going to shoot one guy, or I'm gonna alter his route, and then hopefully our back center will shoot him if we have two guns that way." So it was like, I was saying that the whole time, but then we couldn't really properly adjust into the event. And then that left some holes in our game, because I feel like the practices were good, but it's just like it didn't allow us to actually dissect and analyze the field properly. So.
Yeah, no, it's tough because like at practice, you're not shooting the best paint. And it's, you know, the spread's huge, or you're bouncing players, or, you know, they're sliding off hits because they want to play the point because it's practice. So it's tough, you know,
play time, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, especially with, you know, we were there, there were two D1 teams, all those people have to prove themselves because they're all paying to play. NRG is a new team. They're all, you know, practicing for playing time. Where it's like, you guys only had like what, 6 or 7 people on the roster.
Yeah. We only had like 6 or 7. Yeah. 6.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had 6 at practice, but 7 at the event.
Yeah. So like, you guys aren't worried about playing time because you only have 6 guys. Everybody's going to play a bunch.
Yeah. No, yeah. Nobody cares. So honestly, playing time on our team is a dime a dozen. You're going to get on the field. Just be ready.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's just, you know, it's tough because the paint is so expensive and we shoot so much at practice, you know, over a 2-day period, you're shooting 20, 30 cases a day. That adds up if you're trying to shoot, you know, better paint. And it's like, I would rather have paint, I guess, that flies straight and doesn't break than paint that breaks, but it's in a huge spread, because that's the thing. It's like at practice, we were not shooting both weekends, you know, against Revo and then against you guys and NRG. We didn't shoot anyone off the break, almost ever, very rarely. And our coach is like freaking out, you know, because this is his first event with us. He's like, these guys are fucking terrible. Like, he's like, they're going to get smoked out here. Yeah, they haven't shot a single person. And then we come out and we're shooting, you know, 2 aftermath guys off the break. And it's like, yeah, dude, we know how to lane. You know, we wouldn't be a top semi-pro team if we didn't know how to lane. But it's like, you've never seen us playing semi-pro. You just met us last week. And what you're seeing is not the actual product of what you'll get at the event. But it's tough because, you know, the cost of shooting tournament paint, it's like, you know, it's not free for everybody. So it's just kind of the way it is. I don't know if there's a way to fix that, but I don't, probably not.
Nah, it's a high cost sport. It's a rich man sport. So I get it. Nah, it's there's a lot of variables. Like I always say, there's so many variables in paintball that can influence, what you get out of it. So it is what it is. It's just the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that is. It is. And it's I guess that's one of my concerns, is that there are probably some pro teams that might not make it through this huge downturn. Cause, like you were saying, you were laid off. I'm still working. I'm working remote, but half of my office was laid off. And I'm worried that there are going to be a lot of paintball players who maybe a bunch of blue collar workers, or, I don't know what everyone does in the industry for work. But they're bound to be, out of 200 people, a chunk of them that are either unemployed right now or furloughed or have taken a pay cut. And so it's like, will we be able to have the same 20 people, you know, on the 20 teams, same roster? It's probably not.
No, definitely not. There's going to be changes for sure. I mean, change is inevitable, but something this drastic definitely impacts everything. So.
Yeah. So I know, are you still in school or are you working full time now?
So I graduated school. I took a year off. I'm probably going to go back and get my master's eventually when all this is said and done. I don't want to take online classes. That's just not my style. I'll probably go back and get my master's. But as of right now, I was working at a school as a part-time substitute teacher. With the schooling systems being shut down, I'm out of work for right now. They're trying to do like a summer camp. I work at a Montessori school, so it's a little bit different of an environment than your natural public school. Include different methodologies and stuff. Montessori is like, it's pretty much nurturing the child to become what it wants to become. It's more self direction. Like, it's kind of like just being there to guide the student and kind of let them find what they want to do. Obviously they have like the same subjects as a normal school, but they're not pushed in one way or another. Kind of just like, okay, well, find what you want to do. Obviously you have these assignments done, but you can get it done on your own time. We're not gonna force you to do it right now. You can do this, you can do this, you can do this. These are your choices. You can do whatever one you want. And the teachers are kind of there just to help motivate, obviously, teach them the correct way to do it. But most importantly is just to be there for the student and just kind of care for them.
That's an interesting concept. So it's like you're given A, B, or C assignment. They're all different. You can pick whichever one you want and you turn it in on the set date.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like it's almost like it's preparing them for like college almost. Like,
okay.
It's you know what I mean? Like in college, you get the first day you get there, you get a syllabus with all the due dates to everything. You can get a start on all that stuff if you want. The documents are all online. It's just timing and organization from each student. That's kind of what they're trying to get them ready for. I like it a lot. The students there are extremely intelligent. They come from majorly high income families. So, obviously that impacts the level of intelligence quite a bit, but these kids are very privileged. They have a crazy amount of resources at their disposal. It's just a good environment, man. I would recommend it for anybody that's gonna kind of outsource and look for schools for their kids to go into. I know I want, if I ever have a kid, man, I'm sending them to a Montessori school. That's my opinion.
Nice. I've never heard of that. I mean, I haven't been in school for like 5 years, but so are you teaching like high school?
Or is this expensive?
Oh, I bet. That's an expensive sounding word, to be honest. $1 million word there.
Yeah, I'm lower elementary, so I work with like second to like fifth grade students majorly. It's a good age group. Anything above fifth grade, man, those kids are reckless, man.
So, oh, yeah.
I like the age group that I work with. So
nice. Is that something you're trying to go into full time, is teaching?
No, honestly, man, it was just it's kind of funny. I was an intern. It was part of my requirements to graduate. It was a placement site. They placed me at the school. I was just an aftercare provider at first. And then they kind of expanded options for me when I graduated school, and they gave me a couple options. And I had a position offer, but then it got retracted because one of the teachers came back. So right now I'm just, like I said, I was taking a year off to kind of gather myself and make an educated decision on how I want to attack the future. I'm kind of just like going through the motions right now. It's enough to get me by. Also, NYX takes care of me pretty well for playing. Unfortunately, this year got canceled, so I don't know how that impacts that situation. But they take care of me, man. So I'm blessed. I'll be fine through all this. My parents helped me out a lot. Although my mom lives in Boston, my dad lives here, but he's on the road most of the time. So I'm just here taking care of the house and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, gotcha. I'm blessed, man. The situation I'm in, I'm fine. I'll be back to paintball and I'll be better than ever. So
hell yeah, man, that's awesome. That's crazy. Grade school teacher by day and badass loader dumper on the weekends. Who knew?
That's where I get all my frustration on, man.
You have to. So I know everyone who's listening to this is gonna want to know, where did the loader dump originate? Because I don't remember that in semi-pro.
All right, so this is like a very simple thing. When I was in semi-pro, I shot off the break a lot, and I always wanted my paint to be crisp. So after the point, win or loss, as I was running off the field, I would empty my hopper on the field. But it wouldn't be like up in the air type. You know what I mean? I would just like casually do it on the sidelines, like dump it out by my waist. and nobody really noticed it. And then when I got into, so I did this, that was a habit of, that I had. So even if you watch like our early pro matches or stuff, I was still doing it on the sidelines, but I wasn't doing it like up in the air, like taunting anybody. Cause when I came in, this is actually a point that I wanted to provide. When I first came into the league, everyone like that was around me from our local scene was like, "Hey, like PK, I know you're like, cause everyone, if you know me, you know me, Justin, I'm a high intensity player. I like to wear my emotions on my sleeve." So they were like, "Oh, PK, you're pro now. People are looking up to you. This da 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 da. You got to fit into this box. You got to be this guy." So I toned everything down. I toned my natural tendencies down a lot when I first came into the league. Even my mom influenced me. She was like, "Hey, like, people are watching. You never know who's watching. Higher up teams that might want to grab you. If you have an attitude, they might not be interested." So I toned everything back for a little bit. First two events, I kind of didn't play my sort of paintball. And then after the second event, I was like, "Man, I haven't even made a dent. I'm not looking for external validation, but at the same time, I put a lot of work in, so it's nice to get that recognition." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's an intrinsic thing that I want. I want people to know that I'm a beast. So the third event, I just started being myself. And I remember I won a 2-on-1 against Elevation, I think it was. And I was just standing in the middle of the field, dumping my hopper, like just looking at the pit, just like I had nothing else to do. I was waiting for them to concede. And I was just like dumping my hopper, like at them. And, it didn't really catch on then, but it like all my boys, when we watched the webcast that night, they were all dying laughing. I was like, "Oh, people like this. Okay. Like I'll start doing it a little bit more." You know what I mean? And then it kind of became like my signature, like, and especially after that Aftermath game, like, It was quite crazy. So it's just like a celebration I've had. It kind of like evolved through semi pro into pro, and now it's like a taunt. It's like, okay, I this is the point of the dump, is to let them know how much paint you had left. I didn't even use them on you. I got all these balls left. I didn't even have to use them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point of the dump. And anybody that dumps, your dump fam, I'm going to have some merch coming out. If anyone's interested, follow me on Instagram.
Oh, sick plug, dude. Like that. That's a good story, dude. It started out as a strategy, you know, trying to keep fresh paint and just, and you know, that's interesting what you say about people trying to tell you like, "Hey, like, you know, don't be yourself out here." But if you're not being yourself on a paintball field, which is like really the only place you can truly be yourself, then you're not going to play your correct game, which is what you're just talking about. And I think you need to have an expression when you play. You need to have an identity. You know, you're either a methodical player or you're an aggressive player. Something has to define you in order for you to stand out, in order for you to play your game and make an impact. And it's really hard to make an impact on the pro field. So I think that's a really cool progression. Extremely difficult, man. I think. Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. We just knocked out 40 plus minutes, dude. Anything else you want to touch on while we're here?
I guess it just goes back to my last point, is just that anybody that's listening that's up and coming paintball player or that's striving to be a professional, just know that it all comes from within you. And like I said, it's hard work, it's dedication, it's perseverance, it's nonstop hurdles the whole way. Nothing's easy. But if you want this, if you want to be a pro paintball player like me and Justin, you just got your dream granted. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I bet you love it. I love it. And it doesn't come with tons of money. It doesn't come with tons of validation from your peers, but it's about what you want. And just, if you want this, man, just make it happen. Just get up every day, work hard, and just evolve and become a better person and just go after what you want and just do what you love. So,
dude, 100%. 100%. I mean, you were saying it took 13 years to get here. It took me 14. So, you know, same boat. It's a grind. Anyone you want to thank, any sponsors, you know, shout out Bo Milo. I'm sure that guy's awesome.
I'll plug all my guys, HK Army, Rise Customs, Virtue, Planet Eclipse, Matt's Outback Paintball. Right now we're drilling at a field, a low key field. Shout out to Matt Sujak for keeping us up and running during this strange time. So Mets outback, I said that. And obviously Bo Milo, the Husseins, I owe a lot to them. They have helped me grow in the paintball industry and made me what I am today. Without them, none of this would be possible. They allowed me to travel and play. They've allowed me to travel and play every single tournament since 2014. So shout out to them. And all your listeners, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time.
All right. Right on, Pat. Thanks for coming on. See you guys.
Thank you, Justin.